Välkomna, kära lyssnare, damer och herrar. Och gooners får vi hoppas är det. Håller ni på något annat lag så är det faktiskt helt okej. Till Arsenal Göteborgs podcast. Jag heter Filip Tolf och med mig som alltid såklart.
Sebastian.
Ja, nu pekade jag på dig. Jag pekade på dig när jag sa så här. Och med mig såklart så pekar jag lite grann.
Jag var inte beredd på det riktigt. Men...
Nej, vad tur att du pekar då.
Ja.
Allt bra med dig?
Ja, faktiskt.
Härligt. Vi kan ju faktiskt vara ärliga nog och säga att det här är ju en omtagning. Nu. Det första vi spelade in, det liksom inte spelade in då.
Nej, men det var så att det bästa minuten någonsin.
Ja, det var så jäkla bra. Den inledningen var bra. Jag ska försöka göra om det likadant. Var lika confused och disträ som jag sa att det var. Och det är lite grann också. Men vi kör om den här leken som vi tog i första tagningen. Det är episod 15. Mm. Om jag säger då episod... Eller om jag säger 15 och Arsenal. Vilken spelare tänker du på då?
Och Slade.
Ja, du tänker på... Ja, du tänker lite nyare. Jag är ju fast i Ray Parler.
Okej. Okay. Ja, nej, men det är dels för att jag inte varit med Arsenal så pass länge. Eller jag inte född så pass länge. Och sen har han varit med rätt länge, och Slade. Så att det liksom... Han har fått en plats.
Jag kommer ihåg, jag tror det var Bayern München vi mötte då, när Oxlade gjorde sin första säsong och han rev igenom hela deras mittfält. Och då var han kanske 19. Mm. Nej, men jag tänker på Parler. Vi ska raskt gå vidare. Och det kommer vara ett nytt, nya rör i den här podcasten. För vi ska prata engelska idag, Sebastian.
Mm.
Jag är väldigt nervös inför det här.
Ja, får se hur det går.
Ja, vi har ju suttit här och värmt upp lite grann, så nu känner jag ändå att jag är lite grann på banan. Vi har två gäster idag igen.
Mm.
Det känns som att det är nya för den här podcast-säsongen, att vi har två gäster.
Det är två mot två, inte istället för
två mot två.
Två som hackar på en.
Ja, men precis. Det är bra symmetri. Vi ska bara välkomna.
Ja.
Welcome to the show, our dear and beloved friends.
Thank you.
Andrew and Michelle.
Hello.
You said your last name last time, Andrew, but I already forgot it. Munches?
Munches.
Munches.
Right. Yes.
It's not Munches.
Not Munches.
Munches.
Not Manchester.
All right. And Michelle Bynes. Boynton. Welcome. How are you doing?
Doing well. Good. Doing good.
Yep. And thank you for hosting us, because we're actually at your apartment, at your place.
Lovely to have you here.
Thank you for inviting us on your show.
Are you comfortable to talk? I love your outfits, by the way. All three of you have scarves, Arsenal scarves. I actually don't, but...
It's important to represent even if people can't see us.
Yeah, I think so as well. You really get a heart of it.
Yeah.
Good for the atmosphere.
Yeah, exactly. Should we start?
Yeah.
As always, we have our introduce questions and to you. As guests.
Okay.
Arsenal related, except for the first question. And let's ask the first question, Sebastian. The first question.
Your names?
Well, I'm Michelle Boynton.
I'm Andrew Manches.
And for the first time, I said wrong names. I always said right names to our guests, but I didn't this time. I'm sorry about that. All right.
When, how, and why Arsenal?
Okay, I'll go first. When I went to my first game when I was about 7 years old, I'm now 32, I went with my dad and my grandpa. We went to Highbury to watch Arsenal versus Leeds in the FA Cup. I remember most distinctively about it. It was a terrible game, George Graham era, I think it was nil all. The most distinctive thing I remember is just walking over the steps and seeing how green the pitch at Highbury was, which is actually something we also have at the Emirates too. But ever since then, I've been a massive Arsenal fan, supported us over the years. Michelle?
I started watching Arsenal when I moved to London to live with Andrew.
Yeah.
It was 2006 was my first game. It was Arsenal versus West Ham at Highbury. So it was the last season of Highbury when we had the maroon kit.
Yep, I know. Yep.
And Sol Campbell stormed off the pitch at halftime because he was annoyed about something. Anyway, we had no idea what was going on. He just didn't come back.
He had a bit of a breakdown.
Did he get sent off or stormed off?
No, he just left.
He was subbed and left the stadium, yeah. I think is what happened. He was at fault for one of the goals.
Oh, right.
The other interesting thing to happen that match is, surprisingly, we were sitting next to a West Ham fan that didn't normally happen because we're in the Arsenal section. Yeah. And he was cheering, like West Ham were playing really well. And Michelle said, I want to go stick a sock in his mouth. Right next to us, they could clearly hear us.
I didn't really like that the away fan. You could be like sitting next to a ridiculously loud, annoying away fan. It really annoyed me.
I don't think you understood the history of English football violence, or indeed West Ham football.
Yeah, I guess that's true as well. Yeah, but I've been a fan ever since.
Okay,
happily I'm still alive.
Thank you, Andrew.
You're welcome. I have a question for you, Andrew. Do we allow questions?
Yeah, of course.
This episode, all right. Is your dad and grandfather Arsenal fans?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. My grandpa had very strong opinions about John Lukic and how he wanted to see him return. And all through Seaman's career, after Seaman first started, my grandpa was like, he's no good, bring back Lukic. And then he watched Seaman for years later be the best, one of the best goalies in Arsenal's history, and he always had to stick to his guns and say, yeah, but Lukic. Sadly, when Lukic did return to Arsenal, it was too late and he'd passed away. But he would have been pleased to see.
Yeah, because he returned like he was 40, 40, 41 or something, like third goalkeeper.
Yeah, that's right. He got a few games as well, if I remember.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I remember that. It was like one of my first seasons. Yeah, next question. Favorite player now and then? We can start with Michelle,
ooh,
maybe this time.
Ooh, favorite player. Okay, well, I guess I'll go with then.
Then, yeah. One player then and one player now, you know, in like this troop we have today.
Is it controversial if they've gone somewhere that we don't like? Oh, okay.
Let's see.
Well, I don't know. When I first started watching Arsenal, I loved Kola Touré. I don't know why. He was my favorite player. We always used to sit in the corner where our seats were, and he would come over to our corner and, like, wave at us.
Oh, right.
Oh. I don't know. I like defenders.
Yeah.
Now I have to say Giroud, and mostly
I think you are best guest, Michelle, so far.
I'm the best guest?
Yeah, because you love Giroud. I love Giroud as well.
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah, he's not everybody. Not everybody is the fan of his, but I am. Always have been.
Yeah.
Even put him in my fantasy team when he wasn't starting.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
That's a real fan.
Yeah, but he's not there anymore. Anyway.
Andrew?
So, the obvious choice would be to say Henri for then. And I love Henri, and I loved watching him over the years. I don't think they'll potentially never be a better Arsenal player, or certainly someone who wasn't as important. But actually, I'll go with Ian Wright, because I remember some of the good moments, some of the goals he scored, some of the fights he got into with Schmeichel, the way he wore his heart on his sleeve. Like, and also, I was young then, so I remember those memories are kind of more vivid in my mind. I used to love watching Ian Wright. He was the first real defender I'd see always hammer goals in. Sorry, the first real attacker I'd always see hammer goals in. So, yeah, I'll go with Ian Wright. And now, definitely Alexis, hands down. I think he shows a lot of the same qualities as Ian Wright. He has so much confidence, so much passion. He wants to change the game all himself. In fact, I saw an Alexis quote saying, when he loses the ball, he feels like a child who's lost his toy. I think that's exactly the type of player we need at Arsenal. It's been a long time coming to get somebody like him.
It's very hard to pick a favorite. I mean, I almost said Alexis, but I've just loved Giroud for so long, I had to pick Giroud.
It's funny. I'll stop there. It's funny because in this troop, I agree. It's hard to pick a favorite. It's the same thing, the troop, the invincible troop. Henri, Vieira, Bergkamp, Campbell, Kola Touré for once. And in this troop, I think it's pretty much the same thing. It's Ozil, Alexis, Giroud, obviously, Cazorla, Coquelin, Koscielny.
I think Ozil, I've taken a while to warm to him. I think it's great seeing him in great form now. When we win, his nonchalance, his kind of casual air when he plays makes him look like a genius. When we're not winning, when it's a difficult away game, when it's raining, when we look bad, like I'm inclined to prefer players like Alexis, who will run their heart out. He doesn't even know his own body. He doesn't know when he's fatigued. And, you know, you see Ozil, he has touches of genius. He's always worth having on the pitch, but I found him frustrating when we're not doing well.
We differ on our opinions of Ozil. I've always loved him. I think he's great. his stats are amazing. Stats don't lie.
Well,
people, you know, he's sorry.
I think our questions. No, we get back to that. I think this is really interesting. Maybe you should just add, like, Özil, 1, 2, 3, go. next question.
Your best Arsenal memory of Arsenal
over the
year. Or your fondest,
Michelle.
Well, it's got to be winning the FA Cup after. We had the most insanely long drought of non-trophies. We went to several. We went to a couple of semifinals that we lost, a Carling Cup final. We went to so many big games where we didn't win. So to actually be able to go to the FA Cup, the first, well, I guess both.
Yeah.
The one we were at both, so they're both equally amazing. But the first one was
it's something
particularly
special about
incredible.
The first one.
Because it was just like this massive sigh of relief that, wow, we actually won something. And now all the pundits could stop saying, well, it's been 8 years and Arsenal still haven't won anything. Yeah. Well, it's Arsenal on his way out. It just annoyed me so much. So anyway, yeah, it was incredible.
For me, the Cup Winners' Cup final in Copenhagen against Parma was an incredible Arsenal moment. If you look back at Parma's team...
What year was that?
They're actually, was it 91 or 93?
1994, actually.
94,
yeah.
Okay.
So you were 11?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was 11. We went to it. I managed to take the day off school. And if you look at Parma's team back then, they had some seriously good players. They're a brilliant team. They had Asprilla. They had Gianfranco Zola. They had, I think, Thomas Brolin. They're really strong. We were in our George Graham era. Ian Wright was suspended for it. I remember very clearly the bicycle kick that the Parma defender did just before our goal. Alan Smith chests it and then volleys it, and it hits in the inside of the near post and goes in. That was about 15, 20 minutes into the game. I then remember we had to watch George Graham's Arsenal defend every 5 minutes. It was the longest remainder of a game I've ever watched, but ultimately, as we know, we won. It's fantastic. I remember that goal.
Don't
that
you
best
still have
Arsenal
the ticket
moments.
In your wallet?
Not for that.
Not actually. For that game.
Not for that one.
What game do you have the ticket?
Quite a lot of FA Cup finals, actually. The one against Southampton, the one against Liverpool where we lost and Owen scored 2 goals at the end. I think there's a Newcastle one in there and the recent ones as well.
All right, okay. How would you describe yourself as an Arsenal supporter in 3 words? Andrew, you go first. Or do you need time to think?
No. I think optimistic.
Really?
Yeah, I do, yes.
Really?
Yeah. Impassioned and consistent.
All right.
Well, you kind of stole. I was going to say positive, I guess, like optimistic. Well, I'm way more optimistic than you.
That might be true. Well, I prepare for the worst, but, you know, quietly hope for the best. So, you know, and I'm just trying to set your expectations so you don't get too upset.
I'm going to pick a word that's hyphenated. Statistic loving.
Oh, good.
don't test me. I don't know. I'm quite passionate.
Yep.
Anorak.
That's like statistics.
Yeah, that's one word.
Okay. Anorak instead, I guess he says. But I'm really not that good.
And that's 3 words?
Positive was the first one.
Positive was the first one. All right. It's funny because all of our guests have said positive.
I actually think there's lots of Arsenal fans that aren't positive. I'm negative in the sense that I always fear something's about to go wrong, and it often does.
Are you annoyed with the Ozil?
there are loads of fans who whine about our lack of signings.
That's true. You're more positive than those.
Whenever people say the same thing's happening over and over again, oh, Arsenal, fourth spot forever. Arsenal, our consistency in that level is something to be embraced. I think it's fantastic. The league's got more and more difficult. Our budget hasn't wavered. We've consistently been responsible in our spending. Our football's been consistently the most exciting. I mean, imagine supporting Chelsea. Imagine what the last 10 years would have been like. You could have seen them, fine, they won the league a few times. They were shit. They played awful. They played terrible football. They were boring. I think for us, as Arsenal fans, the football's always entertaining. We have had seen so many talented players come and go. Our signings we make are consistently good. In the last 3 years, Ozil, Alexis, Cech, you know, that's... that's brilliant. You know, that's enough. If they all came at once, you know, we might not have had the results that we do from them. But we're slow building. We're a good club. I love us for that. I feel positive about that because I think there are fans who the Wenger out stuff is nonsense. He's clearly a legend. Yeah.
Good final words. We have the last question, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you a member of Arsenal Gothenburg?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes, I'm on the board.
And I learned
Stevenson.
That word. Yes, Stevenson. I learned that word before we recording. I didn't know that. Good. We're in the board as well.
Yeah.
So, Andrew, maybe you can go and sit in the other room.
This is my second year on the board.
Yeah, it is. Well, that's true.
I'm honored to be at the table with three board members.
That's good. All right. So, thank you for your questions. No, for your answers.
Thank
for
you.
Our questions.
Thank you for the questions.
I would like to just stop for a moment for something. Andrew, you said our consistency of the years,
yep.
Like fourth place and so on. I agree with something Wenger said. His biggest achievement is like keeping that consistency when he's fighting with a billionaires club like Chelsea and City. And
yes, yeah, exactly. I think also the money that they pump into the club is unsustainable. They're not running their clubs in a sustainable way, and we're starting to see the proof of that. If you look at Chelsea's demise, it correlates with Man City being pumped full of money. You know, there's only one club can be the richest club at any one time. You can't all go for that philosophy. It won't work. It just jacks up the prices for everybody. I think we've done amazing to be able to be as consistent as we have. I agree. Over the years, when the standard's clearly getting higher and higher, the money spent is getting higher and higher too.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Like I said, thank you for your answers. And shall we begin talk about last games maybe?
Yeah, the last game we talked about was Spurs.
Spurs, but I think we can start by talking about something a little bit boring, maybe the West Brom game.
Oh,
2-1. The word is free, so to speak. What's your opinions about that game?
Wenger said, and I kind of agree with him, that we just lost concentration when we were 1-0 up. We kind of got a slightly lucky goal, but you felt that might be enough. We kind of were quite lucky to equalise against Spurs as well, so we're showing some good qualities there. After we went 1-0 up against a run of play, I thought we'd be able to hold it. It's difficult to see or analyse why then at half time we were 2-1 down. Maybe we underestimated West Brom.
I'm quite shocked that Cazorla missed a penalty.
Yes.
Yeah, I heard that
really
Jonas Olsson,
about it, actually.
The Swedish defender in West Brom, that he like kicked the grass.
So oh, it, like, around where the ball was?
Yeah, around the ball. So it was like kind of a hole. Well, I don't know if that's true, but
he could have dug a trench around the penalty spot. If you're taking a penalty, you should score it.
Yeah. That's true. But I think this West Brom game, I hope so, and depending on the game last night, it probably was kind of a wake-up call. Because we have played a bit like shit last
month. How many games in a row had we won? I mean, it was like every time they showed the Arsenal, it was like green, 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 green. We had we had not lost a game for ages.
Good league form, but quite a poor November. We lost to Bayern, drew to Spurs, lost to West Brom.
You're not thinking about the Champions League, though. But like in the league, we had won quite a few games in a row before that. Or...
Maybe that's true, but it's not the, like Andrew said earlier, it's not the Arsenal way of playing, I think, this November. It's been a couple of lucky wins. On the other hand, 3-0 away, Swansea away, it's not a lucky game, but Gomez missed a clear shot in the first half. If he scored that, maybe we lost that game. Yeah. So it's been lucky, more lucky than skills. Maybe it doesn't show on the results, but do you know what I mean?
Do you think it's because of the fact that Walcott's not in the team?
I think maybe that's one of the facts. I don't know.
I don't.
Chamberlain,
Oxa. Oxa,
it's English. also.
I think we're always more likely to score with Giroud on the pitch.
I mean, I'd rather have
Giroud
on the pitch.
Always more likely.
I think so.
Yeah.
He's a poacher. He's a real striker. He's someone who works and puts the effort in.
Feels stronger. just feels like he's gonna get headers, and he's good at headers. He's one of the best at headers.
He's up for, he's up for the nitty gritty.
And they keep trying to get Walcott to score headers, but it's not really his thing.
No, it's not definitely not his thing. But isn't Giroud having the record in most goal on the head?
He must do. I mean, when he came to Arsenal, one of his best stats was that he's amazing at headers.
Yeah. Like, but I think it's like 16 goals on the head.
Oh.
And that's, I think that's a record. Maybe it's shared with someone else.
Also, it never messes up his hair either.
No, that's true. That's true.
I think he and Arteta must have the same
stylist.
Yes. Yeah.
And speak of Arteta, he's injured as well, the same game as Coquelin. West Brom.
I thought at the time they might have just taken him off because he played badly. I don't understand for the life of me why we didn't put Flamini on instead of Arteta in that situation.
Captain.
It's funny how bad our captain is.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's on the bench.
But this keeps happening, though. What is the deal with the captains? Can we please just sort out a captain?
Yeah, let's do that.
Playing every week? I mean, really.
We tried that, and we had the captain's curse. We had Vieira as our captain. He
Vermaelen
left. Vermaelen left.
Van Persie, captain.
Van Persie left. At least Van Persie played.
Henry left.
That's true.
Vermaelen didn't even play. It was the same exact situation as Arteta. Vermaelen and Arteta, they're both captains, but they're not first choice team. So why? It's annoying.
But I've heard and think that Wenger is choosing captain in the dressing room. The one who leads most in the dressing room. And
they got a lead on the pitch too, though.
Yeah, I agree with that. But that's what I've heard.
He's chosen captain
from the dressing room, so to speak.
If you look at Arteta, I'd be very, very surprised if he's any sort of an influence in the dressing room. He looks so quiet.
Yeah,
he does. He does.
And shiny.
His skin is really shiny. He's like Edward in I doesn't watch Twilight. No, I don't know what you're talking about. What? Twilight? No. But if the video clip, I think it's from the first FA Cup when our help me out here, Ivan Kaladris, you know, the owner. He's in the locker room and he's holding on to Arteta and he's like...
No. I didn't see that.
It's funny, the listeners can't see me now, but I'm doing like gestures that we are buddies, yeah. So I think Arteta is really popular in the dressing room and that's why Wenger has chosen him for captain.
I guess it'd be interesting to think about who our next captain would be. Who would you have then instead of Arteta?
It's an interesting question.
The obviously choice would be to say Mertesacker.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because he's playing, but I don't think he's going to play next year.
He often has the armband on, you know, when he generally is the captain.
Do you think they have to give Gabriel a chance to push Mertesacker for his spot? I think... You'd play, I don't know, maybe it's just my opinion. I think you'd always have Koscielny in your first 11 if he's fit.
Yeah.
And then so it's then up to Mertesacker and Gabriel to battle it out. And Mertesacker is winning, but you don't know whether their form will change. If you then make Mertesacker the captain, you then have a problem because you kind of always have to play him, otherwise you've dropped your captain.
Hmm. Yeah, that's true. I try to follow you there, but that's right. That's a problem to make... Mertesacker our captain, because then he always has to play.
Mm.
And then it's Koscielny, because he's our best defender.
I think you were into it, like, you spoke about it, that Mertesacker might not play, like, 1 year, more, 2 years.
I don't think
years.
He's playing next year in our starting 11.
So it might be better
so.
To, like...
Somebody younger.
He's, like, 30, maybe I will Google this.
Yeah. That's so it might be better to, like, put him, make Gabriel may play more time so he can get used to the situation and show that he's worth the money and the time.
I feel like if Wilshere was fit and actually played consistently, I'd pick him.
We have to stop smoking first.
It always has been that talk about Wilshere as our next captain. But it's hard to make him captain because he's always injured and he smokes.
I wouldn't say he's developed in his temper. There's still something not quite right in his temperament. That it's fine if we're just if we're going to play him, and if he's going to be a first choice player, he can be important for us. I don't think he's behaved yet like he could be a captain, even regardless of what his age is. He doesn't act like that. He gets.
You could even consider Ramsey, you know, because he was the captain of Wales.
I think I'd rather
he's got
pick
taken away,
sterile.
But he doesn't play all the time, so
I'd have Alexis. I think Czech's also.
He doesn't
a good
speak
call.
English
Alexis?
Very well.
He doesn't need to. He speaks the language of football. When you see a player making so
but
much
as a
effort,
captain though, you need to speak English.
He's experienced. He puts his heart and soul into it.
Then
I
why
think
not Cazorla? Cazorla plays 100%.
Cazorla isn't he our third captain? It's like Arteta, Mertesacker, Cazorla.
Yeah, that's true.
But Cazorla, he feels to me not as that leader that we.
No,
I'd rather pick Ramsey, like you said. But what do I know? it was a game last night. More happier and funnier game. Speaking of Alexis, scored two goals.
We look so good.
Amazing.
It's extraordinary. It's been a very weird season like that to see us play so badly against West Brom and then so well against Dinamo, especially when we started off so badly in the Champions League.
They were hungry.
Yeah, they were. Well, but they were hungry, but it was prerequisite. We had to win that game to stay a chance of being in the Champions League. And then even then, that might not have been enough. So it was a hard game to motivate ourselves for. This was like the no-brainer. We were going to win. We had to, otherwise
really?
It was
complete
disaster.
Really? It's like
do or die? No, it's now it's do or die next game.
No, but it was do or die this game, too.
I think it's do or die.
do die.
Do it.
But next game in the Champions League, we have to win by two goals.
I'm really, really worried about that, actually.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
They were telling all these statistics about how, like,
we haven't won away.
Those statistics.
Yeah. Those and you really love statistics.
Yeah.
But not those statistics.
No. But at the same time, we hadn't lost at home ever to Olympiacos.
That's true.
And
that's true.
In however many meetings, and we lost. So there's no reason why we couldn't go there and win, considering we haven't won there.
Remember,
before we talk about Olympiacos game, I have to say, Joel Campbell, wow, what a game he played.
Yeah,
last night.
Yeah,
when I saw the startup, I thought it was rumors that Ramsey should play, could play in his fit, and I saw Campbell. I was like, yeah, really, I really hope he gets a yellow card and he's off for the next game. But he Mesut Özil, Alexis Sanchez, and Joel Campbell was our three best players.
Özil were on another level.
He's been on another level.
He's really
this
confident.
Season, basically.
Confidence, really.
And it makes it look so easy. It's kind of the Henri syndrome. Henri did whatever he wanted to and made it look so easy and like he didn't care. It's the same thing with Özil.
Özil put in a lot of effort as well, which is uncharacteristic for him. He didn't just look like the ununderstood genius. He tracked back properly.
Yeah, Arsene said that he had never seen him in the box more often than like in that game.
Yeah,
he said that. All right.
Someone should have told him to play like that after the first game.
Yeah.
Like you can't just sort around flicking at places, looking all kind of shy and nervous
you
about it.
You still, you, at
Pull
this point, you can't criticize.
Can.
It. How many assists has he had? Like, he's been a part of so many goals. He's obviously doing something right.
Yeah, well, he comes with a large price tag and high expectation.
For God's sake.
And we're completely entitled to call on him to fulfill that expectation. I mean, you can
which he's fulfilling.
He's fulfilling it now. It's good. He's on good form. I agree.
It's really good form.
Couldn't possibly slate him when he's on as good a form as he is. I'd love to see it continue.
Speaking of good form, our next game is on Sunday. What do you think about our form and, Özil's form?
Ah, going into
it's Norwich away.
Norwich.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see whether we decide to rest Alexis. I think, despite his game in the week, he's kind of clearly in need of a rest, and I think a few of them are, so you never really know what's going to happen now with us, which Arsenal are going to turn up. We can be a bit inconsistent. If we have injury problems, we're kind of playing players we might otherwise want to rotate. So you'd have to hope for the best. It's likely we'll win.
I'm not really expecting much from Norwich, though, to be honest. I mean, that's not, I haven't
you
been
didn't
back.
Really expect much of West Bromwich
no.
either.
I was thinking
West
Brom always beat
some,
Chelsea.
They have some good players. I don't know. Norwich.
But you know you get that in an Arsenal season. You get the really, really good games like Manchester United at home,
yep.
Bayern Munich at home, and you get a really, really shit games like this one, West Bromwich.
Yeah.
Away.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's weird. In a way, it's the beauty of football because it's so frustrating to see us destroy United, then you lose to West Brom, and you think, well, what was the point of destroying United if you're just going to lose to West Brom? But at the same time, if we'd lost to United and we beat West Brom, football would be much more predictable and much more boring.
Another thing that I've been thinking about is that yesterday, Alexis played like forward the last 10 minutes. What do you think about that idea? Now that Walcott is injured and Danny Welbeck is injured, has been injured for a while. If we need like a more faster striker, runs more than Giroud, what do you think about that alternative?
He can do anything. If you could clone him and have him as forward and winger, I'd do that. I'd clone him 11 times. I'd even have him in goal. I think he's a legend. He can definitely play up front. He's
even
one
when he's playing in midfield, he plays up front. Yeah. Like he gets in the position to be up front.
For someone so short, he's also good in the air too.
Yeah, he's a really...
Because he cares so much and he tries so hard. Yeah. And he's willing to throw his body anywhere and try to, you know, get
Did you see
goal.
When Alexis say the word?
Caught
the ball. Thank you. On his back last night.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Was that on purpose?
Why not?
I'm gonna go with yes.
I'm gonna go with you because when I watched the replay, that was on purpose. But when I'm watching it live, it's like, what the fuck is he doing? The ball is. Look at the ball.
Yeah.
But it's really technical. Magician stuff.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he looked brilliant. I think actually, and also playing him up front, if we had a full fit squad and wanted to play him and maybe rest Giroud, then it does give us an opportunity to play one of our many attacking wingers and see them develop a bit more, give Oxa more chance
Ox
in the team.
Injured.
I'm saying if they're all fit, rather than stick Walcott up front, which I don't think is a particularly good idea. He's kind of whined and whined about getting his spot up front. He's on $100,000 a week contract. He's done nothing yet. He's barely proved it. He can't play more than 10 games
really
in a row.
He can't really say he's done nothing.
He's had his best season ever, it's now over. Like his 10 games will be it, and he'll spend the rest of this time he isn't injured trying to get back
he's
to that form.
He's not that seriously injured. He'll come back this season, won't he?
I think he will come back this season. But it's
he
funny,
won't find
like
that
you said,
same form.
It has been like that for a couple of years. Like Walcott play like 7, 8, 9. Perhaps 10 games. That's this is going to be Walcott's year, and then he gets injured.
He's weak and he looks lost. He's like a private schoolboy. He doesn't have any grit about him. He's not. He needs to be coated in lead in the same way Alexis is, in the same way players like Suarez are. Like you want the same way Giroud is. Like if you want to be a real top striker in the Premier League, like you're going to get kicked about all day long. He can't just, I don't know, like something about him feels babyish. The way he handles his contract situations, I think, has been pretty disgraceful. I don't really think he deserves his place. If he wasn't English, I don't think he'd get it either.
Good. We all sit quite good. We should get Andrew for like an hour himself. But I agree with some things, but I disagree when you say he's... you didn't say he's shit, but between the lines you did.
Yeah,
I think it's
a bit harsh.
With him fit, I think our game position had been better. I think we're like, because now he was on such a good form. And I think it's ruined quite a bit for us, him getting injured.
Do you not feel sorry for Giroud, though? Like to be told Wenger came out and said Walcott is my first choice striker.
Yeah, that annoyed me.
Walcott's only ever played 10 games at a time, but Giroud's been for everyone pre-season says Arsenal need a world-class striker. He's sitting there. He's worked his nuts off every season. He's played the most games. He barely ever gets injured. He's always up for kind of having a bad game, flicking it on, sort of scoring a scrappy goal. And his link-up play is really good as well. Like for then, everyone kind of dismisses him. No, he's not world-class. No, now Walcott's ahead of him. Like if I were him, I'd be pissed off. Like I think he's such a good striker. I think he's so classy. There are very other few strikers in Arsenal history who would be able to play that lone striker role as well as he does. I really, most of my feeling about Walcott comes from the fact I feel sorry for Giroud. I think he's underrated.
Okay. I agree that I love Giroud. I think he's a brilliant striker, and like you said, his link-up game and his plays it tough. Like you can see in the game, he's like two, sometimes three defenders on him, and he stays with the, gets the ball to him. But I think with Walcott, we have another dimension with our game.
Yeah.
Like the one, I don't know whether I heard this or read this, but one wise man said, the problem isn't Giroud. The problem is that we only have Giroud.
Yeah.
And I agree with that, because when we had Walcott, we, and he was on a really good form. He
was a super sub.
Yeah. No, Giroud became the super sub.
Yeah.
Yes, I think it upped Giroud's game to be put on the bench. He had to show his class. When he came on, his scoring record was the same as Walcott's, incidentally. But then what happened to Welbeck? Why are we putting... Why do we buy... We buy Welbeck as a striker, but before that, we put him on the wing.
Yeah.
And... But he is actually, he's kind of gangly, tall
like
enough,
Welbeck,
experienced enough to be a striker. He doesn't always hit the target.
If all of three is fit, Giroud, Walcott, Welbeck, who would you...
Oh, who would we pick?
Yeah.
Who I pick?
Yeah.
I definitely pick Giroud.
Giroud? Yeah, obviously, yeah.
100%.
Andrew?
Giroud for me as well.
Okay.
What about you?
I have to say Giroud as well.
Do you have to pick one, or can you play one a bit?
No, you have to pick one as a striker. Because on one wing we have Ramsey, on the other we have Alexis, obviously.
Yeah, but if you place...
Well, on one wing we have
sometimes
Ramsey.
But if you place him a bit...
Sometimes the Ox instead of Ramsey.
But would you rather pick the Ox?
And then Ramsey?
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. But that's another question.
Yeah, yeah.
Who would you pick?
Yeah, Giroud. But I'm thinking if we place Welbeck a bit further down, like number 10 role.
Yeah, like the Bergkamp to the Henry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see like that. In the 4-4-2?
Not really.
Oh, all right.
A bit further down. Like dragging almost. Like the number 10 role. Like a bit further down.
Okay.
So not the striker role. The striker bit.
But Özil is still number 10.
Yeah, he's a bit, yeah.
So you have a line of all three
almost,
of them.
Yeah.
Özil, Welbeck,
almost, yeah.
And Giroud.
Almost, yeah.
All right, why not?
I think it's one of the most exciting things about Arsenal, actually, is what seemingly is the most easy question. If you say to any Arsenal fan, all players are fit, pick your best starting 11. It's actually so difficult.
Yeah, it is.
You're leaving so many good players out. It's a sign of how good we are.
It's a sign of how good troop we have when all fit. But in a season, we don't have that luxury. Because it's... We're stuck with our injuries.
Yeah, that's true. We seem to go round in circles. But, I mean, we couldn't keep our whole squad at Arsenal happy not playing unless we did get those injuries. I don't know how many players we are short of to always feel like we have a good, fit starting 11, but it's very difficult to predict. You never know how many people are going to get injured.
No, you never know at Arsenal. It could be 10, it could be 15. But before we leave the subject too much, Champions League, Olympiakos away, next Champions League game. If we lose then, or don't win by two goals, basically, we get to Europa League. Yeah?
Yeah.
What are your opinions that? Because we asked a question on the Facebook group, Arsenal Göteborg. Should we go with the Europa League and really try to win that, or play with the... What do you call it? B-squad? Is that a word?
Mm.
Opinions? Thoughts?
I don't know. I kind of feel like it's really difficult because if we weren't in the Europa League, we could focus like fully on the league and hopefully, like, I think our biggest goal this season kind of is to do well in the league.
Yep.
You have the biggest, best chance. I don't know. It would be quite nice to win the European competition.
Yeah, it's
but
a
at the same
it's
time,
a trophy.
It's not...
Yeah.
It's not the Champions League and kind of feels like, you know, the loser's bracket.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
If we finish the season with the FA Cup and the UEFA Cup and qualify for the Champions League next season, maybe we come third. I think it'd be deemed a success. Mm-hmm. It would be very, very risky. I'd say we're unlikely to win the league. It would be risky to
really
not care about the UEFA Cup.
You think we're unlikely?
So you think you go for the... European League or UEFA Cup? You say that?
Like what? Try really hard and put our first
yep.
team out.
Yep.
I can't. Oh God, the cat is crawling on
we
the table.
We have a cat on the mixer
the
table.
The cat is on the table. Sorry.
She feels strongly about Arsenal.
Megan. I don't know. I kind of feel like we should focus more on the league.
On the league?
Personally.
Yeah. But Sebastian?
It's hard. On the other hand, it's not Arsenal to focus on Europa League. We're supposed to be in the Champions League, but at the same time, I don't see us making it further than semi at max. So with focus on the league, FA Cup, Champions League, it's too much. So yeah, it's hard. But at the same time, you lose energy and focus either way. So
I personally would play with the B squad, so to speak, in European League. I wouldn't try to win that.
Do we end up playing more fixtures in the Europa League?
I think it's about the same. But the thing is, if you think about it, the European League plays on Thursday, late at night, on Thursdays. And maybe you get a away game in, like, Ukraine on a Thursday night, go back and play at home, early game on Saturday. It ruins a lot.
It's not good. Yeah. It's not good.
And I think that really, I don't see it's worth taking that risk. But on the other hand, like you all said, it's a trophy, and why not? But I if we go out on the Champions League, I don't think we should try to win the European League because it's affect our league too much.
Do you think we will go out?
No, I think we win Olympiacos by 2 goals. I think that.
I think we will also.
I think we will. I'm very positive. Yeah.
So why are we even talking about this?
Yeah. All right. Stupid question.
It's a stupid question. Visit our Facebook group. And
Do you have the thoughts on the group already?
The thoughts. Yeah, some thoughts, and they all say, "Wait a minute." They all say the B squad in the European League and try to win the league.
Yeah. I agree.
But we all agree that we won't go to European League, that we stay in the Champions League.
Well, not as an aim. We can't aim for Europa League. It's not after struggling in the league last year to place to get to Champions League.
Do you know Liverpool? Liverpool had to beat Olympiacos the season they won the whole thing, and Gerrard scored, and they ended up winning it. I think that was the season they beat Juventus in the final.
Oh yeah.
So maybe it's a good omen.
Yeah, maybe. Hopefully, but 2 goals. The game is next week. In 2 weeks. 2 weeks, I guess.
Early December.
Yeah. I think it's the game after Sunderland at home, which, by the way, is the day of the Christmas party. We have to say that we are in the lottery.
Yeah,
the podcast. So if you're going to the Arsenal Gothenburg Christmas party, buy a shitload of lotteries, and maybe you can be in the podcast as Michel and Andrew. Okay.
Well, yeah.
By that result, before we leave the subject, result Norwich away, next game.
3-1 to Arsenal.
Hey, that's what I was going to say.
that's perfect. One result, 3-1. End of discussion.
Yeah, it sounds good.
3-1.
Yeah.
Okay, 3-1. The podcast predicts 3-1. moving on to our next not statement. Inslag. Fan, nu börjar jag bli trött på engelska här. It's a thing we call Arsenal Gothenburg dream team, basically.
Yeah.
I will tell you the rules.
Should we sing the Jimmy song?
The Jimmy song in English.
Yeah.
Dream team. Arsenal Gothenburg dream team. The rules are that you, as one guest, should pick one player from the year that you've both been Arsenal fans. So like 2006 up till this date. So, example, I can't pick, for example, Liam Brady, because I wasn't even born then. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah. Yes.
And another thing is that you
That cuts off a lot of people for you.
Yeah,
sorry.
It does, but you already saw a long list of good contenders.
That's true. Go on.
Yep. And the thing is, every guest have to pick one player. We started with the keeper, left back, mid back,
central
defender, and now we're up to the next central defender. The keeper is Jens Lehmann, left back Ashley Cole, central defender Koscielny, and you are stuck with a defender between Koscielny.
So let's
see. Do you understand the rules?
I understand the rules.
So we just get to pick one player.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we have to agree on it as well.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the main challenge, actually.
Right.
Can you pick Toure?
Do you think Toure rather than Sol Campbell?
Oh.
Does it count that the first time you saw Campbell, he got subbed off and that was his last game for Arsenal?
That wasn't his last game. He played in the Champions League final that year and he scored. So
there you go. I stand corrected.
Well, I think you have to say Campbell.
Let's go with Campbell.
Campbell?
Yep.
Ooh. That went fast. Campbell? Yeah.
Yeah.
But if we just ask you, Andrew, which player has had you picked in your years, so to speak?
As a central defender?
Yeah.
I don't like the guy much because he didn't sign my autograph, but if I put my personal vendetta aside, you'd have to pick Tony Adams.
Tony Adams. Yeah, he's like... He's obviously in this former team. If you could pick anyone.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
But now it's Koscielny and Campbell. What are your thoughts about that defense?
I think they'd be good in the air, wouldn't they?
Yeah, really good. It's pretty much... Yeah, I think it worked out really, really good, actually. And thank you. So next guest are going to pick right back.
Cool.
Yeah. Who would you pick right back, Sebastian?
Ooh. I think I might pick Bellerin.
Bellerin?
Yeah. Who else has been playing?
I personally would pick Lauren, I think.
Lauren. Yeah. Sorry.
You actually played Toure as right back. He did play there a few times.
Yeah, why not Sonia?
Because I left for City.
I know.
That's why? No, just kidding. Yeah, saying that we have a couple of good
Ashley
right backs.
Well, did you have Ashley Cole in there?
No,
I mean,
but that's Mats Turner's fault.
Yep.
He picked him, not we.
One thing about Lauren I always remember was against United when Van Nistelrooy missed the penalty and everyone went nuts and Keown jumped up at him and there was all a bit of a fight kicking off. If you look at Lauren in that game in his yellow shirt, his face, he looks like a psycho.
Yeah.
One of the players I'd least like to fight, it would be Lauren. Yeah. Make him a good right back for our dream team.
Lauren.
Yeah.
We send that to our next guest. Who would that be? That Lauren maybe is a good choice. I don't know. All right, thank you.
Well, they would have to have watched him, right?
They have to watch him. That's right. So if we have an 11-year-old guest next, maybe it could have watched Lauren. Like a 4-year-old guest next podcast. That would just be scary and really uncomfortable. All right. Next segment in the show is Jimmy's Statistic.
Yeah.
The game where Jimmy, our co-companion, so to speak, now.
Yeah.
Can you say? Has a statistic segment, I think. We haven't even heard the segment this time. Because he's sending it to us through an email. So really interesting. Let's hear it.
Hej och hjärtligt välkomna till Statistikhörnan ska ni vara. Idag kan jag tyvärr inte vara med i studion, men det innebär ju inte att Statistikhörnan ska utebli ur det här eminenta programmet som mina kära vänner håller på att spela in. Jag tänkte att idag ska vi prata snitt. Och då tänker jag inte på Jack the Ripper och där han har varit igång. Utan snitt och snittplaceringar för att vara lite mer specifik. För tabelläget är ju väldigt, väldigt intressant efter 13 omgångar. Arsenal hänger med bra i toppen. Även om vi inte ligger på något annat än en fjärde plats så har vi bara 2 poäng upp. Och för mig, för er som har hört mig på bloggen innan så vet ni att jag har varit inne på att Arsenal har haft den tuffaste inledningen av de lagen som faktiskt ligger på de 4 främsta platserna. Och för att ge er en liten fingervisning vart vi är på väg så kan jag säga att Leicester som leder ligan har mött lag som i snitt är på placering 12,2. Och snittet baseras alltså på nuvarande placering efter 13 omgångar. Manchester United har haft en betydligt tuffare inledning och har mött lag som i snitt ligger på placering 10,8. City däremot, de är ganska nära Leicester. De har haft en lätt inledning. De har snittat lag på placering 11,6. Och mitt påstående här, kära vänner, är att Arsenal är det enda lag i topp 4 som efter 13 omgångar har mött lag som i snitt inte ligger bättre på placering 10. Är det sant eller falskt? Jag ska ge er en liten, liten tid att fundera på detta.
Ja, intressant. Tack Jimmy via voice mail eller vad man ska säga. Jag tror att det är sant. Jag tror att det är sant.
Det, ja.
Fortsätt fundera.
Det är bra fråga. 10. Jo, men det känns som att för det inte varit så...
Och här kommer nedräkningen. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Nu får jag be om ett svar. Är det sant eller falskt?
Sant. Sant.
Det är sant. Arsenal har mött lag med en snittplacering på 9,4. Vilket är en relativt hög snittplacering efter 13 omgångar. Lite kuriosa är att de 3 kommande omgångarna så ska vi möta lag som har snittplacering 18. Vi möter alltså det 16, 18 och 20 laget i ligan. Det är ni. Tack för mig och ha det gott.
Sant alltså. Vi tog poäng Sebbe.
Ja, det var inte igår tänkte jag säga, men det...
Vi leder med 2-1. Jimmy plus gäster och podcasten du har. Så har vi 2 poäng.
Han är klurig.
Han är en riktig, riktig klurig rackabajsare den där Jimmy. Jag hoppas att han är någon live i studion nästa gång.
Ja, men det får vi ta.
Det får vi ta. Det var det vi hade att bjuda på.
Ja.
Thank you. Sorry for leaving you out, our it's dear cool. beloved
no
guests.
Worries. No worries.
And we are one guest down. Michelle had to prepare for Thanksgiving. Is that right?
That is right.
That is right, yeah.
They watch American football in the afternoon.
Are you going to do that?
I think so.
It will be nighttime. All right.
Yeah.
As you hear... Once again, Michelle. Wait. Because she's still in the room. But wait. What? And she's back.
The Dallas Cowboys always play on Thanksgiving. It's a tradition.
All right.
The Dallas Cowboys are American.
Always
team.
Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, it's always the Cowboys.
Okay.
Always play on Thanksgiving. And it's called Thanksgiving dinner, but actually it's you eat kind of in the middle of the day. Traditionally.
All right. Yeah.
It'll be dinner here. But okay. We're doing everything a bit later. It's kind of a time delay.
All right. All right. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
We will not, what do you say? We will not tie you up or something. Do you understand me? No?
Yeah. Take up any more of your time.
Yeah. Yeah. thank you.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. Our pleasure.
Yep.
And Andrew, thank you very much.
Thanks. Thanks. Cheers.
And hopefully we have pleased our new English listeners and didn't scare it off our Swedish listeners, basically.
Even though we didn't have subtitles.
Yeah, exactly. Sebastian, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Andre, thank you very much. Michelle, thank you very much. And dear listeners and friends, oh to be a Gooder. Awesome, always leads the way.